So I'm honored to be here. I know that God is doing great things. I want you to be expecting. Hearts will be healed. Relationships will be restored. Leaders will arise from this church. And only God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to make it happen. Not through witchcraft. Not through somebody else. Not from someone saying, well, maybe this is going to happen. Through the Holy Spirit. Do you agree?
Amen.
Amen. So I wanted to thank Pastor Haley for having me. And I know this has been a long time coming. A long time coming for Haley. Pastor Haley. I call her Haley, sorry. Pastor Haley. I know it's a long time coming. I know that they prayed for you guys. They organized this. I think this is one of many that it's to come. If you were here last night, what an amazing start of the night. Amen? That started really the pace of this conference. And I tell you what, I've been talking to some of the women that are speaking, and I promise you, it's almost like we have the same notes, but we never were supposed to give the notes. They just are. They just are. I'm talking to some, for some of these workshops, we're talking, and it's amazing that our notes are weaved together for such a time as this. Do you agree? Again, I believe there's a great movement in this church for Africa. And for the women to rise up, to pray, and to minister to one another. Did you hear what I said about that? God's really placed in my heart to minister to, what did I say? What does that mean? One another. Yes, you can have counseling, you can go to see people and ask them. But I believe it, you know, the kind of the theme here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight, is that to get into your small groups, to find someone that's safe, correct? You know, my husband and I, a long time ago, we decided we were going to get into a Bible study. And we got into this Bible study, and we absolutely loved it. We loved the people. But what we started feeling and started understanding is that it was just a kind of a gossip session. And I got really, really concerned, and I told my husband, we're done. But what was happening is that, and I'll talk a little bit about my marriage, but we really needed safe friends. I didn't find them. So I encourage you, and Pastor Haley and I were talking about this, you got to find safe friends. Again, if you take, this is the, and it's interesting in my notes and her notes. If you go to coffee with somebody and it's not the right person, you thank them, you pay, and you move on. But I believe as you spend time in the Word and you spend time praying, God's going to show you who the right person is. Here's what I got from the Lord. And I have to understand, I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia, in the United States, near D.C. area. And we recently moved to the beach, and so we're about a block and a half from the ocean. And I have spent so much time after I got that word from Haley, I've spent so much time alone at the beach. And I was a little overwhelmed by you guys. See what you did to me? I hadn't even been here and I'm overwhelmed. But what happened is that I just felt God just talking to me on the beach. You know, sometimes we see, you know, Pastor Haley has her quiet time in the car, as you can only imagine. But everybody has quiet time somewhere. And the ocean is my quiet time. And tonight I'll talk about my quiet time in the mountains. So I hope you come back tonight and bring a friend. But, you know, one thing that God really placed in my heart was for the women to lead other women. Do you hear me? For the women to lead other women who are broken, forgotten, abused, women in human trafficking. It's happening here. It's happening in the United States. It's happening in Greece. It's happening here. Don't turn an eye to that, because they're waiting for you to rescue them. The ones that are forgotten, the broken ones are waiting for you to rescue them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And for women who do not feel worthy. And I say that with all sincere. Worthy. We are worthy. But we're broken. And we have to get fixed to be able to be worthy, to be able to serve, to be able to save. One of the things that just, it really has taken me back being here. I just was in Dominican Republic speaking a month ago, but being here is different for me. My heart is here already. It's been here for years. For some, you know, I just have felt that. But when we're coming in, Pastor Haley and I are coming in during the day. I mean, seeing these children that are barefooted and they're walking. I wish I had a camera in my eye for every image that I needed to capture. Because every time we capture an image, it stays with us a long time, doesn't it? When you're abused, do you capture that image? When you see something really bad, you capture that image? Yeah. Seeing those three little kids, they must not have been 5, 6, and 7. And you know what they were doing? They were holding arms and they were walking down the street barefooted. You know, I just have a word for that. Don't forget the children. Don't forget the children. I know sometimes parenting's hard. I was in Russia and I had an incident with one of the girls there. I was at an orphanage speaking. And I tried talking to her about stuff like this and not to be forgotten. But, you know, she was so bitter over her husband, her dad, who was an alcoholic. She had web fingers and web feet because she had from alcoholism. That's kind of a symptom. And the orphanage had gone in there and actually fixed her fingers and fixed her toes. And she sort of looked a little normal. But the bitterness, and she just was so, you know, offended by that whole thing. It was hard for her to forgive what happened to her. It's sad. It's really sad. So we need to be able to rise up and don't forget those children. One of the things she had said to me was that she was upset and the offense was over her father. And I started talking about my father and about my father's an alcoholic and my aunt's an alcoholic. And it just pains me. But one of the things is that I feel like there was a book I could grab off that shelf and say, huh, this is how my father should be. Then I should be offended. There is no book on how to be the best mother, how to be the best father. And if there is, it might not apply to you because it's different. Do you agree? But our Heavenly Father, amen, has given us which book? This is our book. So her and I had a long discussion. I think at the very end, she said, I'm going to think about this forgiveness thing. I'm going to think about that. Amen. I mean, I was like, you know, in one incident, in one section, she was set free. Because she didn't know. Just don't forget about the children. Because they're the next generation. Do you agree? I see one in the very back there. That's the next generation. You can't forget. You can't forget him. Is it a him or a her? Her? Him? Her. You can't forget her. If you need to learn how to raise her better, there's counseling. And there's a CD series, Haley says. But listen, we're not perfect as parents. It's okay. But you can't forget the children. Because when we're not here, who's going to take over? And I've met an amazing woman here, Megan, and I love what she's doing. And I've met Dawn, and what amazing. These two women are doing stuff for children. They haven't forgot the children. So I just, you know, I'm sorry for saying it over, but it's a burden. It's a burden. And it should be your burden. Communicate with your children. Tell them you love them. Why? Because the Bible says it. This is the book of parenting. Here. You need nothing else. I want to tell you a little bit about my story and my journey. My journey here has been a long journey on an airplane. And I'm learning. Whew, that was a long flight. But the journey for me has been, I've had a lot of journeys of ups and down. You'll never meet anybody with the perfect journey. And if you do, they're not telling you the truth. Because that's not what seasons are for. We grow from our seasons. Okay, so I just understand that. There's seasons of inspiration. There's seasons of joy. There's seasons of huge disappointments. There's seasons of silence. And those are the hardest ones. God says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Not run around and know I'm God. Not go look for somebody and know I'm God. Be still. In the quiet times of those quiet seasons, be still. Know He is God. There's been silence. Those are the ones that have been the hardest for me. And then there's seasons of chatter. Chatter, 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 chatter. Why did it happen? Why did it happen to me? It's her fault. It's his fault. It's their fault. Brr, 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 brr. It's chatter. Ugh, those are the worst ones. There's seasons of confusion. Listen, chatter causes confusion. Get it? silence, you can hear God. There's seasons of sadness. There's seasons of tragedies. There's seasons of major decision makings. There's seasons of losing your way, and then there's seasons of finding your way. There's seasons of purpose, and there's seasons of being complete in the will of God. How many of you know to be true? This is to be true. No one's raising their hand. Amen. Because we all have to go through a season. God's never, it's just not this playing field. It just doesn't work like that. Here's the first scripture that I have for you. It's Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know I have the plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to give you a future. Then you will call on me. Come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. Wow, right? You know, sometimes we go, For I know that I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope in the future. And then you will come and pray. Right? Shh. Be still and know that I'm God. And then you will seek me with all your heart. Not with half your heart, a quarter of your heart, a little bit of your heart. Not my heart, my head. We seek him with our head, don't we? Because we think we know it all. And we don't. He says your heart. This is very, I think we don't even, this scripture is so important that we don't put it in the right context. With all your heart. A little bit, not a bit, maybe, I don't feel like it. I know that God knows the secret desires of your heart. That desire that is hidden away for years. That desire that you've dreamed of. As I stand here today, I can tell you, this has been the desire of my heart. This. Not, being the best, business person, not being this, not the car, fancy cars, not the fancy money. No, this is the desire of my heart. But it's been tucked away back in my heart because I didn't want to tell anybody. See, I heard it years ago, but it looked impossible to me. I didn't see it with my, I didn't see it. But as I stand here today, it is it. This is the desire of my heart. Women's ministry is a desire of my heart. Children are the desires of my heart because of the future. Can you see how I'm passionate about this? Am I okay? Is this all right? I know that many of you also have it in your heart to be speakers, to be worship leaders, to be a pastor, to be a writer, to be in leadership. Some of you have the desires in your heart to be great parents. Some of you have the desire to know how to do it right. We all have these secret desires. A lot of times we don't even say it to people. I'm wondering, Muffet, if when you're here, I mean, was that your secret desire for so long? Yes? Did you want to do it? Did you think that was it? Maybe, but you didn't tell anybody, did you? Because you knew that the gift and talent that God had given you from the day that you were born, God wrote, this is what I'm going to do for her. She won't see it and she won't know it yet. But I'm going to bless her immensely. And the season that you had to go through was for a reason. Rhema, anybody that's in Rhema, it's a sacrifice you make, correct? Yeah. It's a huge sacrifice. There's the fruit. That's the fruit. She's amazing, isn't she? Yeah. When someone can worship like that and bring it out of the ground and just, and allow the Holy Spirit to just to come. Amen? That's what I see when I see you worship. It's like you bring it down and you push it out. It's a gift, my friend. Not all of us can do it. It's a gift, my friend. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. Here's the best part of this scripture that no one talks about. Do not be wise. You hear me? Wise. One more time. Wise in your own eyes. For the Lord, fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It's a powerful scripture. But we never really read 7 because it doesn't like 7. I don't like 7. Because I've been wise in my own eyes. Boy, it's gotten into a lot of trouble. This is what's happened to me when I'm wise in my own eyes. I go into this drought season. This is what happens to me when I'm not and I trust the Lord and I have the fruit and it's completely green. That, my friend, I want to stay away from. Wise in your own eyes. That's how I see it. I mean, there's all these teachings on different things, but this is my teaching today. That's what I see. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Again, going back to the church, going back to seek counsel, going back to be better, to do more. You have a big mandate on your life here. I'm telling you, if you haven't noticed it last night, you do. I couldn't even sleep last night. So jet lagged a little bit. But God, just thinking about Pastor Haley and the message was amazing. I cried. I sat there and cried. Guess what? That's me too. It's all of us. We couldn't sit here last night and say, it's not for me. You're not telling the truth. It is. We all have it. One of the I was going to say that when we're talking about the seasons, you know, how many are in this season right now? Raise your hand. Anybody in this season? It's okay. It's a good season. Everything's going okay for you. I'm going to pray for a lot of people in here, okay? How many are in this season? Amen. I know it's tough, isn't it? This is a tough season. It's ugly. It looks dead. I heard somebody created this for me. Thank you. You're very creative. Let me ask you something. When the season of life came, and as you're in the season of life now, were you ready for it? Can I tell you what? I wasn't ready for my season. I just wasn't ready. I didn't see it coming. And I didn't see it coming because the ground that I stepped on, the ground that I lived on, wasn't solid. What does that mean? Well, I was wise in my own eyes. So when a season comes and you're not ready, you know what happens to you? You shake. And then you fall over and then you lose your way. That's what happens. It's the truth. It's true. You can ask anybody. I mean, you can ask me. I'll tell you for sure that happened to me. Painful, painful, painful. That's a painful place to be. Most of us get into certain seasons of our lives and then we're just taken back. We feel hopeless. We feel insecure in our Christian life. We start doubting who God is. I don't know if there's a God. Well, if he's my God, then why would he have done this to me? I don't understand. You know, it's like, why this, why that? We go into this complete not understanding what's going on. The biggest thing we do when we lose our way is we allow the enemy to take foothold. I know women back in the U.S., and they're separated from their husband. And instead of seeking God and understanding that this season is just temporary, because what happens when it's watered and it comes through? It looks like this season. But when they're in this season, they just don't see the fruit. And then they start dating somebody else. They're still married with kids. Instead of seeking restoration and marriage counseling and the will of God, they don't like it. They start dating someone else and then they get pregnant. How do you heal that? That's a harder one to heal, being wise in your own eyes than not having that in your life. And I've seen marriages, they've been restored. It's a painful. Imagine being the husband and has to raise the child that's not theirs. That's restoration. God can do anything. Listen, there's no shame. But this is being wise in your own eyes. Do you agree? You know, I was trying to figure out how to put this conversation in, but I'll tell you. So I had a friend of mine. My husband and I were separated, and I'll talk about that later. And so she decided to give me these this tapes about marriage. And so I'm like, oh, whatever. I'll go ahead and read those. I'll go ahead and listen to them. I've been traveling at the time speaking. After I listened to those tapes, I called her up. I think I was somewhere in Texas, and I said, thank you so much for those tapes. What I realized is I married the wrong man. And she was like, oh, no, that's not, no, that's not. No, I did. I heard the series. I'm not supposed to be married to that guy. She said, oh, my gosh, Laura, stop. I mean, I'm kind of a literal person. You know, like, okay, I'm an ABC person. This, you know, I'm a rules person. It's my personality. I heard the rule that he ain't supposed to be for me. But you have to understand, I had a 10-year-old. And I think it was 6 years ago. So you know, wherever they were. So 10, 11, and whatever. But, you know, the hardest thing is hearing, you know, sitting outside their door at night. And I would cry and pray because they had two rooms for here. And I would sit and just pray for them. I knew I had every grounds for divorce. And God had really turned my heart towards him, away from him. So I didn't even care anymore. But one of the things that she brought me back to reality, and she said, okay, forget the tapes. But what she said was, will you just do me one favor? And again, you know, my heart was hardened towards him. Will you just seek God's will? And I'm like, ah, I can do that. Because I know that's what the word says. I'll do that. So I did that. And that's, I'm probably messing up my notes here, but I just think that's really important to understand. What's God's will? Is God's will to divorce? I believe if there's cause, yes. I believe we can't be doormats anymore. I believe that you're to be adored by your husband, and you're to adore your husband, and you're to respect and respect. All that's perfect. But the Bible is very clear. I had every grounds, but I, for the sake of my children, I wanted to seek God's will for my life. I was perfectly fine divorcing and moving on. I knew he'd be my best friend forever and a great dad. I knew that. So you have to just dig into what the word says. And, you know, when you're being abused and you're being cheated on, that's not God's will. It's just not. I don't care what, I don't know what Bible you're reading. But I can say you can get to some counseling here. I keep saying counseling because I don't know. My heart is I feel like the connection between what's happening at the women's conference and the healing that's going to take place. And I hope you come back tonight and bring a friend. But when we end tonight's session, I truly believe that God's going to set you guys free of a lot of things. And that you could go home into your workplace and go home into your businesses and go home into wherever you go, and that you'll be a big light where there's no light. We're good? Amen. Now, we know when we're in a good season of prosperity, because things are going, like I said, going great. Here's prosperity. We praise him. We're happy around people. We bless others. We spend time with others. These are the great seasons, aren't they? Everything's fine. Everything's good. But then again, when the season comes to this, some of us freak out, don't we? We're like, oh, I can't believe this just happened to me. Oh my gosh, I'm here again. Why can't I have that job? Why can't I be married to that person? Why can't I do this? And why can't I, you know, again, we just kind of like freak out. We're always looking for that quick fix. And I talked to you just briefly about something. The quick fix is not witchcraft. Because that's the culture here, some of it. And the culture in the Hispanic culture is the same thing. We grew up in a trailer my whole life, and my mother had a pretty good job. But the bigger problem was that she would take her paycheck, and she'd walk across the border, which is only about 5 minutes away, and she would see fortune tellers and tarot card readers. She wanted the quick fix. So what did that do to the children? Well, I'm the child. My sister's the child. And my sister and I, we became latchkey kids. What does that mean? Well, that means that she's never home, and it's just like these kids walking in the street. Ah, it's sad. Where are their parents? Well, that happened to me. So basically in middle school, I got into drugs and drinking and smoking and missing school. And so it was a crazy time. My sister is only responsible for getting me to school but not keeping me at school. So I did my own thing. It was a tough part. And it was only because she needed a quick fix, right? You understand that? Be still. Know that I'm God. We're here. We don't need to go anywhere else. We don't need to go look for this person. We don't need to go over here. We don't need to go over here. We be still. And in the stillness, here comes the leaves. And here we are. Because this happened. I'm here today to tell you this is where I'm at right now. It happens. The Bible says, I know I have the plans for you. Do you believe it? Yes. Why is it the hardest? Why is it the hardest scripture to believe? It's the hardest scripture to believe. And there's other ones that are hard too. So that's a good one. He says, I know I have the plans for you. But he doesn't want you to lose your way in your season. Please don't lose your way in your season. It's very difficult to come back from it. You lose your faith. You lose your friends. You can lose everything. And then to come back, it's even harder. It's a longer road. Here would have been the road. And now it's way much. Actually, it's that way. So from there to here is hard to lose. When you lose your way, it's harder to get back to it. I love the, I didn't tell them about the scripture, so the Proverbs 4:5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Amen. How powerful is that scripture? What are you called to do? What has God laid on your heart? Are you stuck in the season? I want to give a big shout out to Pastor Haley. I love her so much. I know you do too. Can you imagine? I didn't really have the big picture until Friday. Called at 7 years old. Who does that? Not me. Who does that? What sacrifice has she given for the church? What sacrifice has she given for this country? What sacrifice has she given for this nation? Because you have to understand, Rainbow Bible students will rise up. They're going to be in every government, every business, every church. I have chills to talk about that. When Pastor Haley was speaking yesterday, we come from Oral Roberts University. I had the privilege of meeting Oral several times and just being with him. And I feel like I was under his ministry. And when you're at Rhema, you're under their ministry. You're under their blessing. You might need to make a sacrifice to go. Be still. Know I'm God. And he has the plans for you. That little secret thing in the back of your heart to go to Bible school, you can do that. I know you can. You're afraid to step out. Right? 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 Right. But if you trust God, I'm telling you something right here. I'll tell you what. If you trust God, I'm talking to you now, I'm talking about, right? If you trust God with your tithes here, you're planting it in good soil. And somebody else will come around and pay for your Bible. I'm not saying they're going to. I'm saying you have to believe that. If you're trying to make a way, he will make the way. He'll make it, it'll come out of the blue and you won't even know where it came from. But God is raising you guys up. Please understand that. He wants to I wish you could see what I see. When I was on that beach, listen, God, he specifically said there's a handful of women in this church that are going to have to step up. They're going to have to learn more in leadership. They're going to have to know more in running a church. They're going to have to know more about organizing conferences. They're going to have to know more about care ministries and how to minister to others. It's coming out of this church. It's coming out of that school. You just have no idea what's to come. Do you feel it? Does anybody else feel that? And we have to stand on that. And we have to intercede for that. We can't, oh, it's just going to happen. It doesn't happen like that. You have to pray. You have to intercede for this church. You have to intercede for Rhema. You have to intercede for the pastors. It's a tough job they have. You heard her. Her season, and when Pastor Haley was in that season, she was in this season. She wasn't in this season. She didn't get back on a plane and go back to America and say, done. I'm done. We all heard her story, did we not? How hard is that for her? She did not lose her way. She did not lose her way. Now, maybe she thought her lost her way. In her mind, she lost her. But the reality is she didn't. I really believe that was her season. Because this church needed some changes. And why put her in the middle of it, Haley, for you to be injured more and to be hurt more and for other people to run over you? That season was just for home. That was your season at home. It wasn't about getting back on a plane and going back to America and never coming back. And Walker can handle it. She said he can anyway, so. Can they cut that out? I don't know how we're doing on time, but just a couple more things. I have just a quick background. I come from a single mom. My sister and I told you a little bit about what happened with Latchkey Kids. Our grandparents cared so much about us that they put a trailer in the back of their house, and we actually lived in a trailer the rest of, from like, probably like middle school on until I went to university. By the grace of God, I was telling you what my middle school looked like. It was a little bit of a mess. Got to university, was great. Loved being at ORU. It's changed my life. It's bringing strong leaders out of that university, and they're changing the world. I face a lot of challenges, like I said. Ended up going to a friend of ours' wedding in Virginia Beach, and the minute I got there, I knew that season was for me. So I moved to Virginia Beach. My mother was freaking out. She couldn't believe I just got in the car and left, but that's just usually how I do things. I was hoping that it was going to be an okay season. So I ended up getting there, met my husband on a blind date. That was interesting. Awesome. He's adorable. He's handsome, and I've been married to him 21 years. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We had our seasons. Like I said, by the grace of God, I ended up at the university, got married, had two handsome kids, have two sons. I got into the real estate market. And what I didn't realize is I had such a gift of selling and people. And so I did really good in real estate. Well, about 6 years ago, I really felt God called me to write a book. And this is really important. I want you to hear what I'm saying. He wanted me to write a book. And I remember feeling that, like, write a book about what? You know, what am I going to write a book about? Real estate? But the more I sought him and the more I understood him, it wasn't about real estate at all. It was about women and about their stories. You know, I'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. I don't want to give all it away. But about their stories. And their stories were so powerful. Some got pregnant at, you know, 13, some were raped at early age and had their baby. They did not choose an abortion, but they became amazing women, lieutenant commanders. They became lawyers. They became doctorates. They became educators. They became entrepreneurs. The stories are absolutely amazing. So it's not a pamphlet, it's a book. This is it. So it's a great book, and it's changed many lives. But I remember that I kept thinking, how can I write a book? God, don't you remember my past? Remember that season? Well, drugs, drinking, mess. Didn't even go to school. They didn't take roll back then. I'm not going to date myself and tell you how old I am. But they just didn't. So how would you want me to write a book? I'm a horrible speller. Do you not know my past, God? I'm not writing a book. That's the past. I'm not good. I'm just not good at it. Self-worth, right? And please come back tonight so I can tell you the rest of that story. Why that affected me so greatly as a child. Self-worth. So I'm like, So I started praying about it. My husband and I, at this time, we were separated. And, I used to hear these preachers say, oh, I struggled with God. And they would tell you these stories about struggling with God. And I used to say, God, I wonder what that's, how's that? How does that happen like that, you know? But I tell you what, one Sunday afternoon, God had put this book in my heart. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. And I just started crying and seeking him. I was already broken because my husband and I were separated. I was broken over my children, that their dad, I made him move out of the house. I couldn't believe I was going to go write a book. And the thing about this is that I was a high producing real estate agent. I'm top 2% in the whole area. And I just was so fearful of being poor again. See, this is where I didn't trust him to get me somewhere because I was so gripped by fear of my past. I lived in a trailer my whole life. I didn't even realize it was orange until I went off to university. I'm like, we lived in an orange trailer this whole time. I mean, seriously, it drove off and I said, wow, that was orange. Isn't that funny how you just don't even notice stuff until like it's going away. But, you know, I got on my face and I started crying and I was praying. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm on flat on the ground. And I couldn't get up. No matter what I did, I couldn't lift my shoulders. I couldn't lift I was paralyzed in the Holy Spirit. I don't know what else to call it. There's no one else in the room but me. It gripped me. I'm like, what is this? God, no. I don't want to go back to being poor. I want to go live in the trailer. I can't trust you. Listen, I've never had to trust God with my finances, so why now? That's the thing. Is like that part of the finances, I never had to trust him because I always had it and a lot of it. I had the perfect house. I had the perfect family looking, even though we were now separated from the outside. Listen, here's the best part. What? The mess. See, isn't that deep? We didn't plan this. From the that's why I was crying yesterday. You had me all in tears. But can you imagine if you were here for that, the mask? From the outside, we were awesome. We were millionaires from the outside. We had the perfect 2 golden retrievers. And no, Mexicans, we don't always have to have Chihuahua dogs, okay? Somebody called me one time and they're like, hey, we got a Chihuahua dog for you. I'm like, why? Because I'm Mexican, I can get a Chihuahua? No! I've got golden retrievers. I love my dogs. But you know, it's like it was so perfect. But again, from the inside, we were broken. And as I laid on that floor, I kept saying, no, I don't. Can I do it part-time? Please don't let me get it. I don't want to give it up. Please, 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 please. And next thing you know, I'm just sobbing. And I said, I was exhausted from crying. I must have cried 45 minutes. I was exhausted from crying. And I said, okay. And as I'm standing here today, I came straight up like someone. And I stood straight up and I was like, what was that? But you know what? I was just trying to get up. So I was trying to get up and I couldn't get up and I was trying to get up and I couldn't get up. That's wrestling with God. Some of you will experience that in your lifetime. It's for real. I'm standing here today. Has anybody ever experienced something like that? Thank you, because I don't want to think I was like out there. Amen. So I gave it up. I gave up real estate for those 2 years. And I, of course, you know, giving up real estate's very, the word is just kind of difficult because I still had business coming in and I gave it to somebody else and then she would run the business for me and I still got paid a little bit. So it worked out well. And then, of course, like I said, during that season, this is very interesting. My marriage fell apart. I lost great friends in the separation. And you know why? Because what I was facing with my husband, they were facing with their husband. And this is what happens. You lose them. Why? Because they're staring right at it. They're staring in the face of exactly what's going on with them. Again, the mask. But it doesn't happen to me. oh, that's not going to happen to me. I'm going to stay in the abuse. He didn't abuse me. I'm just saying this. So, the things that happen, we always put that up. I'm telling you what, we lost great Christian friends. When God restored that marriage, they didn't come back because they couldn't forgive him. It's taken years for one of my friends to finally forgive him. Who are you to cast the first stone? It's a tough place to be. This is the place. It's a tough place to be. It's a tough place to be. During that separation, exactly what I feared came about. Our finances were in shambles. And then my favorite dog died. True story. I just love my dog, and he died. I got another one. Don't tell him. But listen, what I had to realize is that I lost my way in prosperity. Here, you can still lose your way in prosperity. Do you know that? Because you do it for the wrong reasons. And if you're a businesswoman here today, be careful. Don't do it for the wrong reasons. Because you'll lose everything and you'll end up over here and then you'll have to start over. Because that's what I had to do. It's a tough place to be, isn't it? I was running so hard back then. I was actually everything was 10 steps ahead of me. I was just, I lost my purpose in life. The life God had for me for that season, it was a tough one. But I'll tell you what the next one did. So being here, I promise you, I was looking to see, and I can see. You see, what ends up happening is on these trees here, if you can see, at the very tip here, can you see that? You know what that is? It's over here. It's this. Can I pull this off? Is that okay? Sorry. This is what comes out of this. Here it is. You know what that's called? For some of us that are stuck here, what is this called? Restoration. The tree's being restored, right? That's all it is. When it grows, it's restored. What else do you want to call it? Grow? Okay, we can call it grow. But the reality is being restored to what God has for them. The next season for me brought restoration to my family. It brought restoration to my marriage. This book that I did not want to write and I was struggling with God, it's not a pamphlet, it's a nice looking book. What it did is save my marriage. The book saved my marriage. And not only did it do that, what it also did was amazing, is that I was able to get out and go speak across the country. And I spoke to over 30,000 kids and women on the hope of not letting their past define who they are and who they are today. This is what the book did. It wasn't for me. It's like I'm just the tool. But I had to go to that to get to here. It's amazing how I remember standing in my kitchen one time and I believe, and I really felt God say, you're going to be a speaker. And I was like, okay, now an author, now a speaker. What is that about? But the thing is, my son came home one day and he said, Mom, he said, you're a speaker right now because you wrote the book and now you're a speaker. And I said, yeah. He goes, but are you an international speaker? And I said, oh, who did you tell that to? And he goes, I told my friends you're an international speaker. I said, amen. Amen. Isn't that amazing? So I said, I'll take that, Joshua. Amen. So here I am today. It's been a painful journey. And when I speak tonight, you'll understand the impact that what's happened to me as a child, how it's shaped my life. We have seasons of change that we go through, but we have to trust God in those seasons. Because as we know, he's going to get us to the other side. Amen. Because I'm telling you what, 25 years ago, God knew the day I was created, the day I was born, that I would be standing on this stage today at this time for such a time as this. Amen. know that you probably know who you are. I really do believe that God has placed in your heart a lot. And I think more will happen tonight. More healings will happen tonight in your soul. I think, because honestly, Friday night, it's something to me. I mean, I felt that little piece of me was healed. Did you not feel that? I mean, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? To give her the words of wisdom, to come here and to be this bold, to speak this bold. And there's a little piece that was healed. Listen, lots of us have pieces. We have pieces from divorce. We have pieces from abuses. We have pieces that we weren't the best person. We have pieces because we were angry and shouted out. And all these are just little pieces that have to be healed. You know, I tell you, I was in Dominican Republic and I was joking about having to maybe preach tonight barefooted. I had emergency surgery in May and my biggest fear is that wasn't going to be able to come here. So I'm still recovering from that. But that was a fear I had. But, you know, I still believe that today the plan and purpose was for me to be here. To deliver a message. And I think the workshops are going to be amazing. I just believe there's just a great movement. Have you felt that coming? Because I know that when there's a season of change, don't you know that ahead of time? I can always tell my husband something's changing. He goes, how do you always know that? I don't know. I just do. Something's coming. And that's why I wasn't surprised when Pastor Haley had contacted me. I mean, the minute I saw her inbox message to me, boom, God laid in my heart what I was doing. I actually told a couple of people and I was like, oh gosh, what happens if she just wants me to bring her books or something? I don't know. So I really had to that was a big faith walk, wasn't that? But sometimes we know. And like I said, I believe there's a great movement in this world for women who love Jesus, who answer the call to do more, to lead more, to preach more, to love more, and to offer faith and hope to the hopeless. You see, seasons are meant not only for you, but the people around you. And how you handle your season. Are you losing your way? Are you going to be faithful or are you going to lose your way? I love God's forgiveness and restoration. I'm a perfect example of that. And I can tell you right now, I'm not perfect. I'm forgiven. Please do not lose your way in the midst of your season. Yeah, the best opportunity here in your church, I know I keep saying that, but I just want you to get it. Maybe I said it the first time and you were taking a nap. Or I said it the second time and you're looking at your phone. Or I said it the third time and you were talking to somebody. But I'm telling you, there's something mighty God's doing in this church. For the women. Just something about a faithful, praying woman, isn't it? We have a lot of power that God has given us. I want to say we're his favorite, but I don't know, because of Eve, she just messed us all up. Hebrews 13:5. Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. Why is that also the hardest verse to understand? I mean, we have all these verses, and they're so powerful, but we forget. And the last one I'm going to read to you is in Esther 4:12. And I just don't have enough time to stay here. You know, I guess I could stay here, but we have to go now. So, but one of the things is please read Esther. I hope that you will do a Bible study on Esther, Pastor Haley, because I believe it's very much for the church. And I'll talk about it tonight. And so I'm going to tell her to do it. How's that? Let me know if she doesn't do it. Just email me. She's assigning it to somebody else already. Good girl. She's delegating that out. Here's what Esther says. Is Esther 4, is it up? 4:12? No, that's not it, but that's okay. I'm going to read what I have. It talks about, don't think that just because you live in the king's house, you're the one Jew who will get out of here alive. If you persist in staying silent at the time like this. Do you hear me? Do you understand where that? Please understand. This is the church. This is Zambia. This is your culture. If you persist in staying silent, You got it? At this time like this, help and deliverance will arrive for the Jews from somewhere else. How many more Americans do you want to come to take over your church? Sorry, did I say that out loud? I was thinking that. Did it come out? Amen? Seriously, come on. Do you have to step up? So who will arrive for the Jews from somewhere else? But you and your family will be wiped out. That's what it says. Or who knows? Maybe you were made queen for such a time as this. If you read Esther's story, it's powerful. Can I get you guys to come up for a second? I'm going to read you one last thing, and then we're going to pray. Your time is now to shape the nation, to pray for one another, to intercede for one another, to raise your children, to understand their worth and value. Please don't forget the children. You see, I keep saying it over and over again. Why is that? God's put a burden on my heart for the children of this country. But it starts with you guys, because you're the ones having them. Don't forsake them. Tonight I'll be finishing up the rest of the message, and I hope you'll invite somebody to come out. But right now what I'd like to do is I'm not going to get you to come up. I'd like to pray for you guys. And there's no shame in this. There's no shame. Okay, do you understand? If you're stuck in this season, stand up. No one's stuck in the dry season. Okay, no shame. Okay, not everybody has to stand, because some people can be over here. And then some people can be stuck here. Do you have a song afterwards? I'm going to pray for them. Do you have a song? Let me just pray for them. Now that's not hiding behind the mask, isn't it? Amen. Close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Kore bakasu tera bakasi di baba. Kore mama sikiro baba siko. Kore bama saka. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these amazing women. I pray, Lord, that you just continue the message tonight, and their hearts and their minds will be healed. I pray right now, Lord, that if people are stuck in the season, in the middle of the season, Lord, I pray they will not lose their way. I pray that they'll be still and know that you are God. I pray that they get the scripture that you have a plan for them, not a plan they have for them. It's your plan, Lord. And my heart is just, God really wants to say he hasn't forgotten about you. 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 You hear me? In this dry season, he hasn't forgot about you. Don't lose your way, because it's going to be longer to get back. Thank you, Jesus, for their hearts and their minds and for their quiet time. I pray that you speak to them that you like you've never spoken to them before, that they will seek you and they will find you, and they'll put everything else aside and know what the Bible says. We thank you for their healing of their minds. And we pray that this dry season is short, but in this season, the lesson will come. And they will write books, and they will say speeches, and they will change lives from the dry season. That you're lifting up women, gosh, women, to not ask somebody else to do something for you. Thank you, God, for lifting them up, giving them self-worth, and being worthy. We just thank you now for giving them peace. Lord, touch everybody here, Lord, that has that secret desire in their heart, that they will rise up and you will call them blessed. In in Jesus' name.